All right, y'all. Welcome back to another episode of Technical Knockout, the Hardcore Casual MMA Podcast. I'm your host, Hussein. With me, as always, my co-host, Jordan Patrick James.
What's going on?
We are talking about Ankalaev versus Walker today. We're going to recap that event, the first event to start 2024, and it was a pretty good one, so let's get into it. All right, so main event.
Yeah, no doubt.
Magomed got it done. I mean, okay. We all knew that he could. We didn't think that he would, because sometimes he likes to play really stupid games in there. But he kept his composure, as he always does. He's a very patient fighter, maybe too patient sometimes. But it paid off very well against Johnny Walker, who was not able to get much done against Ankalaev and suffered that second round knockout loss.
Yeah, once I saw like they kind of got into that latter part of the first round and early part of the second round when Ankalaev was just straight walking him down. He's not, you know, too worried about all the flash, all the other stuff that you know, Johnny Walker was trying to get, as we were alluded to, get weird with. You know, I was like, okay. I even was talking to my son, but like, I'm pretty sure that Johnny Walker's about to get knocked out right now. And then lo and behold, about maybe a minute and a half later, he was out.
Yeah, you could feel it coming in the air tonight, you know, because Johnny Walker, well, he was able to land some leg kicks, you know, to his credit, and a couple of funny spinning moves and stuff looked like they were going to get there, but fell short at the last second. But, you know, Ankalaev is just so patient and composed. He was very happy to wait for Johnny Walker to kind of run out of ideas, which doesn't take long. I've noticed, you know, Walker, he's kind of like, he's been the hammer so many times. Like, he knows how to move forward, how to attack, and he just doesn't have, like, the wherewithal or, like, the training to do something, like, do the proper thing when something's coming back at him, you know? You see, like, anytime he gets hit, he has very adverse reactions to it. I understand that, you know, maybe he doesn't have the best durability in the sport, but a big component of that is his composure when he gets hit, because you'll see Magomed throw, and Ankalaev is a one-strike fighter, you know what I mean? Like, I when I say that, I mean, like, he's not throwing three-punch combinations and finishing it with a kick, you know? He's not Alexander Volkanovski or, you know, Colby Covington or something like that. The way that Ankalaev strikes is he's very much a pot shotter. He'll throw, like, a right hook and step back and see how it looked, and then throw a front kick and see how it looked, and leg kick, see how it looked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, one of the commentators was saying that exact thing, saying, like, you know, he's just walking down and hitting him with these little pot shots, and yeah, you know, it ended up wearing him down, you know? Yeah, I mean, I think it softened him up really. Like you said, it just kind of backed him into a corner.
And yeah,
you could
exactly. Kind
of, you could see the, you know, him in Johnny Walker's eyes trying to figure it out. I think, I hate saying it because I do think Johnny Walker can be very good. I just think, you know, maybe he's overthinking it, or I'm not sure. There's just something that I think is just missing for him to get into that top five.
I think he really needs to work on his defense, because and his reactions, you know, I mean, these are things that you can't really just, like, have. I mean, some people are, rather, I should say, sometimes people can't obtain these things, you know. They're kind of like a natural given thing, is like the you know, your reaction timing and how you can take a punch or react to a punch. Every time Magomed landed one of those pot shots, you see Johnny Walker, like, step back a few, you know, paces, or, like, you know, get rocked. And it was like, I don't know, man, it's gonna be hard. He talked about going up to heavyweight after a couple of years. I don't see that going very well for him if he does, because the heavyweights hit way harder. And, you know, he might be able to get away with some of his speed and explosiveness and movement at heavyweight against, like, a slow pounding heavyweight. But if he does get touched, he will go down again. So, you know, to Magomed's credit, he, you know, he stayed composed. He landed that right hook, I think it was, to rock him, and then finished him off with that follow-up punch on the ground that it looked like it smashed Johnny Walker's face. Like, as soon as he got hit, he started holding his face like that. And once you see them do that, that's like, that's rough, you know what I mean? I feel bad for the guy. I hope he heals up quick.
I mean, and to his credit, he popped up quick, shook the dude's hand, was like, man, that was a good shot. So yeah, I was seeing that usually, you know, raises the stature, for me at least, of the fighter. You know, he took the loss well. Like I said, I want to see him do well. But speaking of doing well, Ankalaev did well. Do you think a title shot is in his future, or do you think he has to get a number one contender's fight with Jamahal Hill with these talks of Pereira versus Aspinall?
I mean, I feel like if anybody should get the title shot, it should be Jamahal Hill, but I just don't know if he's ready or not, you know? He had that he suffered a torn Achilles not that long ago, and that usually takes a year to recover from. I believe it happened sometime in October last year, so might be a few more months till we see Jamahal Hill get in there. So I think it makes sense to do Ankalaev versus Pereira. If Pereira wants to go up to heavyweight, if they want to do that, you know, try to get him the three belts at UFC 300, I think that's a great fight too. But I do think that Aspinall runs through him. So I'd imagine, you know, Pereira is going to be with the light heavyweight belt coming off of a loss and fight either Jamahal Hill or Ankalaev later in the year if they do that Aspinall fight. But, you know, the meritocracy in me tells me that it should be, you know, Ankalaev fighting for the title. Yeah, I mean, there's a few guys at the top right now, and there's a few fights that have to shake out to really find that clear contender. But right now, Ankalaev has the best argument, even though, you know, he hasn't beaten one of these, like, top three, top five guys yet. You know what I mean? But that's not his fault, you know, that he's beating whoever they put in front of him. But yeah, like he, you know, he got that draw with Jan Blachowicz. He hasn't fought in a Jiří Procházka or a Alexander Rakic or, you know, Jamahal Hill. He hasn't fought one of these guys yet, but, I think he'll do well. I think everybody that watches the sport and watches the light heavyweight division knows that Ankalaev is kind of like the heir to the throne, so to speak, just based off his skill set. If he can put his game together, his wrestling, his, you know, power, his shot selection, his composure, his cardio, if he can put that all together and, you know, wrestle, for God's sakes, wrestle these top light heavyweights, I think he has a great chance of being the champion for a while. You know, I think he could take down Alex Pereira very easily and beat him up on the ground. I don't think he's gonna. I think he's going to go into that fight and be like, you know what, maybe I'll just throw single strikes at the kickboxing dual champion, and, you know, we'll see what happens, you know, and he might get chinned for those efforts, or at least get his leg kicked off. I think that's a great matchup, though. I'd love to see that fight. So I think they should make that fight, personally. What do you think, Jordan?
I'm excited to see where it goes from there. I'll tell you what I am excited for. Jim Miller gets the submission.
That's my guy.
That is my guy. I was so happy to watch that. It was just, the old dog in there, man. Like, with every bit. Didn't he look fresh too, man? He looked good. He looked crisp.
The guy's reaching his, like, his second prime right now, dude. Like, I mean, he turned back that guy in his last fight in like 22 seconds, knocked him out.
That TRT something, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's that. I think, you know, it's, I feel like his. He after he got rid of that Lyme disease, he's really just been flourishing, you know. And I thought he was gonna win in the first round. I thought he was gonna punch a hole in Gabriel's face before he got started, because Gabriel's a little bit of a slow starter. But you know, he did have a very strong first round, Jim Miller, and then he had a strong second round and a strong third. You know, the dude stayed in the fight the whole time, stayed in control the whole time. It was vintage Jim Miller performance. Typically. As the fight goes on, he'll tend to fade, but he looked really good in that second round. He looked really good in the third round. He was fighting his fight, so, you know, makes sense that he had a bit more cardio to do that. But, yeah, I'm just super happy for the guy, man. And yep. It looks like he's going to be able to fight on UFC 300. He didn't take much damage in this fight. I don't think anything cuts-wise. I didn't see any cuts or anything on his face. So,
yeah, big question is who's going to be the dance partner. You know, that's going to be a major marquee match on there just because of the history, 100, 200, 300. So who do you think they're going to – do you think Paul Felder is going to come out from behind the desk?
I'd love to see that fight. That'd be a really good matchup.
I don't even know if he's training right now. I'm sure he's like in shape, but
yeah,
you know, after watching that, I would be like, you know, the athlete in me would be like, oh yeah, but then it's like, oh, he's training for real. Like, Jim Miller ain't a small task for people.
Yeah, nah, for sure. He's definitely a tough fight for anybody. But I'd like to see him fight somebody of that caliber, of like an older fighter, like a Paul Felder, or, you know, a Clay Guida, or even somebody like Rafael Dos Anjos, but Dos Anjos is fighting pretty soon too. You know, somebody like that who is a little bit older, maybe a little bit over the hill. I don't I think he called out Matt Brown also. I think that'd be a good fight at 170. That'd be pretty cool. I like that matchup for Miller. But, you know, I don't want to see him fight a contender or, you know, a ranked fighter or anything like that. You know what I mean? Let's just get him a fun fight, get him on the card. You could give him one of these regional guys because you know that he's going to smoke them in 2 minutes or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? That'd be pretty fucking sick. UFC 200, they gave him Takanori Gomi. So I'd like to see a matchup of that caliber. You know what I mean? Maybe they pulled Joe Lozon out for the third fight. I hope not, actually. That'd be pretty rough. But, you know, we'll see. Whoever he fights, I'm very excited to see it happen. I'd like to see that that trifecta of UFC 100, 200, and 300 for him. You know, I think it'd be awesome. Be a good feel-good moment. Next fight on the card.
Yeah, Mario Bautista, he was impressive. He impressed me a lot in this fight.
Bro, like, I love Mario Bautista. I've been a fan of him for a long time. You know, I love Ricky Simon, too. It's hard to see him lose. You know, now he's on, like, a 2 or 3 fight loss skid, I think. But, the dude is, like, a very tough cookie to crack, you know, Ricky Simon. He's a tough fighter. He has a very durable style, very hard-nosed style. And Bautista had a great performance, man. He landed some awesome, you know, hooks on the back foot. He landed some awesome leg kicks. He had some great scrambles when Simon did take it to the ground. I was worried that if Simon got him down, he might be able to just out-muscle him. But Bautista was very active on his back and was able to get up from Simone's top pressure, you know, relatively quick. I don't think he was on the floor for more than a minute at a time when he did get taken down. So, great performance from Bautista. He was able to just pretty much overwhelm and out-slick the very hard-nosed Ricky Simon. So, I was really happy with his performance. I also put a bet on him, so I was happy to see him win. But regardless of that, it's great to kind of see him come to fruition here at bantamweight. And it's just a reminder of how deep that division is. You know what I mean? And if you take any two top 10 fighters from that weight class or top 15 fighters, you're going to get a great fight. And that's what we got on Saturday. I was really surprised that that fight didn't get fight of the night because I thought it was really exciting and I thought it was, you know, deserving of that. But, you know, it is what it is. UFC cheaping out. It is what it is. But yeah, man, awesome performance from Bautista. And I hope that's a fight that really puts his, you know, his name out there for top contenders and for fans alike to, you know, start to give him some recognition, you know, because I think Bautista's kind of flew under the radar for a lot of people. And now hopefully he'll be a little bit more at the forefront with this like top spot in the card to start out the year. And then we had Bruno Ferreira versus Phil Hawes and what was, you know, a very predictable outcome, I think, for one of them to get knocked out in the first round. I think that's what we were expecting. I didn't expect the fight to look like how it looked like. And I think he got it done with only like a few seconds left. Yeah, 5 seconds left in the round to get that knockout. But, you know, better late than never, I suppose. you know, Phil Hawes looked pretty good in this fight, but he fell victim to the same thing that got him in trouble against Ikram Askarov in his last fight, where he kind of just put his head in the same spot every time after throwing a punch. He'd throw like a jab and like dip his head down. And that's how he got caught by Askarov. And that's how he got caught by Ferreira. Ferreira was able to land a knee that put him on, you know, skates. And you see Phil Hawes kind of back up. He gets hit with a right hand. He gets rocked even, you know, worse. And then Ferreira landed a left straight that really just kind of grazed the side of Hawes' head. But was able to put him down after he'd been hurt so bad from the last few strikes. And then the ground and pound put him to sleep. It's hard to watch Phil Hawes get knocked out over and over. I really like the guy. He's a good guy. Jersey boy as well. But, you know, it was kind of a predictable matchup, in my opinion, because Ferreira is such a heavy hitter, and Phil Hawes has had that trouble with the durability in the past. So, good pick. Didn't feel good to see it, but I'm happy to see Bruno Ferreira continue to climb the ranks, and I think he's going to be a very exciting action fighter at middleweight for years to come. He's pretty young, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's only like 28 or 29, so we should get a couple more years out of him. He's a pretty exciting fighter to watch.
Speaking of getting a couple more years out of the fighter, Andre Arlovsky.
Man, this fight, I was so frustrated, dude.
Yeah, I was like, pissed. I was not happy to watch that fight.
Fuck Waldo Cortez Acosta. I'll say it right now. I hate that guy. I'm watching the fight like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, you know what I mean? Like, clowning and fucking gyrating his hips and stuff. You got a fucking former UFC champion, 45-year-old fighter in front of you, and you you know, you're going to give him that kind of disrespect. Like, it was just so whack. And then, like, after the fight, he's, like, thanking everybody and, like, you know, acting like he had such a great performance when he scraped by a 45-year-old who's, you know, been knocked out however many times in his last few years. And
that's not the type of stuff that gets you, like, you know, rub with the brass. You know, Andre Arlovski's a company dude. You know, you go out there and you do stuff like that. Like, if you go out there and knock him out cold, that's the business. But going out there and doing that, that's the kind of stuff that, one, either gets you left off cards or, B, put in a matchup that you are definitely not ready for. And it's like, all right, fine. You want to, you know, you want to fuck around. You woke up with a little bit of fuck around today. You know, here's your reward. Here's your find out. Yeah. Here's Andre Arlovski 20 years ago.
Yeah. You know? Imagine.
Yeah, like, dude. Seriously. Like, that's, I mean, I don't know. To be fair, Andre wasn't really getting stuff going, but, you know, neither one seemed willing to, you know, engage in anything.
Yeah, I mean,
I would have liked to see Andre try to, like, shoot a little bit more. You know, I do know not to side with the commentators too much, but, yeah, I would have liked to see maybe a grappling or something, because obviously the striking wasn't there. He wasn't, you know, but that's just me.
Huh? I think he won the second round, it was. He won one of the rounds on all the judges' scorecards, Andre. But, you know, it's just hard to, like, he's fighting these heavyweight fighters, and they clearly have a power advantage over him. You know what I mean? Like, he can't really threaten them that he's going to knock them out, because he hasn't knocked anybody out in years. So it's hard to turn back some of these young bucks when, you know, you don't have that kind of stopping power. But he was able to outslick Waldo for that one round. I was hoping the judges would just give it to him for Waldo being a fucking asshole. I was kind of praying for it.
It'd be like one of those robberies that nobody talks about. But, like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah. Be like, yeah, he deserved that one. Like, yeah, brush it under the rug, you know. I think
Jake Collier. Cody Brundage, like, is out of the doghouse right now. Cortez is in. You know, Cody Brundage, you're off. Cody Brundage, you're off, man. We hope, we wish you all the luck of the Bo Nickel for now. Fuck Cody. All my homies hate Cortez.
Yeah, for real. I feel like Waldo Cortez Acosta is probably my least favorite UFC fighter right now, and I'm very excited to see him get beat up in his next fight, which I'm sure he will, because he's very disappointing as an athlete. We'll see what happens, but, you know, let's see. They should give him that guy that beat up Barton Boudet a couple weeks ago, Shamil Gaziev or whatever, that guy. I want to see that guy fucking throw knees to that dude's belly and push the pressure on him. Because I feel like this dude is a clown. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, I can see can see you watching him like, dance now, salsa boy.
Yeah, word. Come on, man. Just shake your hips out of Dagestani, who's going to fucking pressure you against the cage. All right, but yeah, not too much. I think Arlovski still has a couple of years left, dude. I don't know. We'll see.
He just needs one win to get that record, so I think that's what he's looking for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a plenty of shitty heavyweights that he can beat up on. And I hope he gets that fight next, you know.
Oh yeah, speaking of next, by the way, don't ever stop comparing me to Salzburger, dude. Come on, bro. Like, what's going on?
Yeah,
dude?
I think it's fair. Now that he cut his hair, especially, you can't see the resemblance at all. But you know, Salzburger had a pretty disappointing performance.
Mike Perry looking.
Yeah, that was a good comment. Shout out that guy. Instead, I look like a mix of Bilal Muhammad and Mike Perry. I can see it. That's a pretty good observation. But yeah, so Semelsberger came up short against Preston Parsons. Preston Parsons is a good fighter, man.
Yeah, he's solid, dude. He's solid. He's
well-rounded, you know. He was on my radar before this fight. I didn't know that Semelsberger was coming in on short notice. He definitely seems like the kind of guy who needs a bit of a training camp to figure out his opponent. He might not be the most... Like, you know, some fighters adapt really well in the octagon. And I don't think Semelsberger is really one of those guys, it seems like. Once he starts losing the fight, it's hard for him to come back, so to speak.
Well, you could see that there was past victories for Semelsberger. I'm like, you know, it was competitive, but you could see that Preston Parsons was, you know, had that full training camp. That's the ones where you can kind of, like, tell there is that difference, you know, as you were saying. I would, you know, I think if this matchup was ran again, both having a full training camp, knowing who their fighter was, I think even if you know, the situation is reversed, I think Semelsberger would, you know, come out. So, you know, it was a good performance from him. I don't think there's any shame in that performance, like you said, coming in on short notice.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the dude has thunderous power in his hands. He just was not really able to find that chin of Preston Parsons, and Parsons was able to, you know, kind of slick him to the cage when he had to, and if they did get in a grappling position, Selmsberger would even take down Parsons and then end up getting out scrambled and end up on the bottom for most of the round. So, you know, great performance from Preston Parsons. He's definitely one to watch. I'd like to see him fight somebody like a Brian Battle or Gabe Green, one of these kind of guys next. I think that'd be a good fight for him, like that top 25, 20, you know, to 30 range. There's a lot of good fighters at welterweight. So maybe even Jeremiah Wells. I think that'd be a good fight. But yeah, going down the card, you got Marcus McGee versus Gaston Bolaños. This was an awesome fight. Awesome knockout. Marcus McGee is a stud, dude. This guy's definitely one to watch. He has thunderous power in his hands. He's got a few submissions on his record too, so you know he's pretty good on the ground, or at least, you know, competent there. And I think more than anything, a big component of his game is his patience and his composure and his shot selection. And you know, I kind of chastised, maybe not chastised, but Magomed Ankalaev might have too much of those attributes that he doesn't open up when he should fully. McGee is patient in the sense that he'll wait for his shot to open up, and then he'll throw two or three, and he'll get out of the way. And it's very aesthetically pleasing to watch. The guy knows what he's doing. He seems like a very natural fighter, and I'm super excited to see where he goes from here. He pulled out that spinning back kick to the body. It was fucking sick. Punched on Bolaños, had him all types of bruised up. I had money on him to win by finish, so I was very happy to see it. But yeah, it was just a fucking great performance, and I really think this dude is gonna make some waves at 135. So I'm excited to see where he goes from here. You know, maybe they give him one of these like top 30 fighters. I think like imagine this guy fighting one of the Bashirov brothers. You know, I think that'd be an amazing matchup. You know, to see that kind of like juxtaposition of such a powerful fighter versus a guy that needs to more rely on his technique and his speed. I think that'd be an awesome fight. Marcus McGee, amazing performance and definitely one to watch at bantamweight. MMA Lab has McGee and Bautista from this card, and both guys had very measured and, you know, spectacular performances. So they're doing something right over there at the MMA Lab. If I'm not mistaken, I believe Jared Cannonier also trains there. And, you know, you saw what kind of stuff he was able to do in his last fight. So they're certainly hitting their stride over there in Arizona. And I'm excited to see how all those fighters develop, but particularly these two bantamweight prospects. Speaking of bantamweight prospects, Fareed Basharat was able to put on a very comprehensive performance against Taylor Lapolis. This was an awesome, performance from Basharat. These guys are very exciting, very fun to watch, in my opinion. Maybe not, the most like explosive fighters, the Basharat brothers, but they are super technical and super composed and very well rounded. You know, if the striking doesn't pay off, he will go for the takedowns. And, you know, generally speaking, he has a very easy time taking down these guys and holding them down and beating them up. He did not have that easy of a time against Lapolis. Lapolis had some very, very good takedown defense. But eventually Basharat was able to wear him down in those positions and was able to get the takedown regardless, even if he wasn't on top for very long at certain points. He was essentially making Lapolis defend the whole fight, you know, and you can't really win a fight on defense, you know. So it kind of reminded me of like Merab versus Aldo in that sense, but obviously a lot more dominant positions for Basharat. But yeah, so great performance from him. Gene Silva beat up Weston Wilson. Weston Wilson is an absolute can. I think he's going to get cut after this fight, if not fed to another guy. But this dude, Gene Silva, reminded me of Vanderlei Silva. I don't know if you saw this fight, Jordan, but the dude looked like Vanderlei, and he threw punches like Vanderlei, and I'm really excited to see where he goes from here. I mean, obviously, this was kind of like a squash matchup for him, but super exciting style, and he kind of played with his food a little bit in there. He'd rock Wilson, and, you know, he could have went for the ground and pound to kill him, but he didn't. Wilson is a kickboxer. He's not even a huge jiu-jitsu guy, so I was kind of confused to see Silva not follow him to the ground. But that being said, you know, great performance from Silva, and it was honestly kind of tough to watch at certain points. It was a little uncomfortable because he was just, you know, hurting him with every punch he landed. So that was crazy. Nicholas Mota got it done against Tom Nolan. I was really happy to see that. I picked against him because I thought this would be a bad matchup for him. But watching the fight live, I was like, oh, Mota's going to knock him out. This guy, Tom Nolan, he's throwing punches and not bringing his hands back. Like, it was very easy to read, you know? Like, I was that fight and the Weston Wilson fight, I was watching with my friend at work, and I was like, yo, he's going to get left hooked here. Like, his right hand is all the way down here. And, you know, Mota's left hand, he's throwing it hard. Like, he was throwing it hard at the end of the punches, and it looked like he was going to tag him with it. He ended up catching him with the right straight into the left hand. But, you know, great performance from Mota, and it was awesome to see him get a victory. Tom Nolan, maybe not ready for the UFC level. I don't know. We'll see how it happens. But, you know, he looked good on the Contender Series. Might have got rushed to the top, you know. But huge underdog spot for Mota, and I'm happy to see him get that victory. Joshua Van looked incredible in the opening fight. This guy is definitely one to watch at flyweight. Super exciting fighter, very well-rounded, great pace, great pressure. And the other guy looked pretty tough, man. He was landing some good knees to the body, a couple knees to the head. But, you know, Van was able to break him down and get that. I think it was a second round TKO. Yeah, at the end of the second round. So I'm really excited to see how he develops, and I think he's got a very bright future at 125. Yeah, we'll see what happens, man. So overall, you know, pretty solid card. Good way to start the year, man. They started off the card with like three knockouts in a row, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And then, you know, some good fights in there as well. Great performances from Bautista, from McGee, Ferreira, Ankalaev,
great
Jim Miller.
Performance from the, TKO, betting squad over here.
Seven
for 11, bad. I believe you said, right?
Yeah, yeah, I got 7 out of the 11 picks right. I would have liked to see Mateus Nicolau versus Manel Kopp, but, you know, it is what it is. I think would have got that 8th out of 12th with that fight. But, yeah, we're off to a pretty good start this year, you know. And, you know, to be fair, I picked Walker and Arlovsky. Those were really kind of, you know, I knew they were probably going to lose, but I just wanted to see them win. But, you know, not a bad start to the year, man. We'll see how it goes. TKO Nation, stick with us. We're going to break down the, what's it called?
Strickland versus Duplessis.
Yes.
UFC 297. I am coming for John Anok's job over here.
Panic.
Mo. I say that every time. You correct me all the time. Maybe I can get out to him, but I'm coming for his job. Modelo.
Brew for a fighting spirit.
Yeah.
Stay tuned, though. We're coming back with the UFC 297 breakdown very soon. I appreciate y'all for listening. And, you know, stick with us, man. We're making this money. We're gonna keep the ball rolling. You know what I'm saying? Trying to spruce up the joint with these dress shirts, too. Collared boys. You know what I'm saying?
We're professional over here.
Word up. All right. Take it easy, y'all. Thank you for watching.